You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Urban Embodiment Presents UE Talk. I am your host, Deshaun Whip Dog Whipple, and I'm here with my partner,
Lakeisha.
That's all we get is Lakeisha.
Yes, this quarantine has got me kind of in a not so good mood, but I'm making it through.
Man. Listen, I don't know if y'all can see it behind me. I got my quarantine tracker. I'm just putting X's on every day. It's like you're locked up. I don't know what's going on, man, but hopefully we'll be out of this sooner or later, man. Well, we got an amazing guest tonight. We're going to talk to him in a second. But first off, Lakeisha, could you let them know what we got coming up at Urban Embodiment?
Yes, yeah, so we had to reschedule our Small Business Expo. It will take place now June 20th, given that we have permission. We do have vendor tables available. It is free to the public. It will be at the Hazel Park Community Center. That's 620 Woodward Heights. There's some construction in that area, so be sure to put the address in your GPS so you'll be able to navigate around that. If you would like to be a vendor, be sure to email us at urbanembodiment313@gmail.com, or you can message us on Facebook. The next thing we have coming up, given that the bridge and the tunnel open back up, we have a day trip to Carabana in Toronto. They canceled the Grand Parade. However, they're still having their day parties that weekend. So we still plan on going at this time. Seats for that is $80. You need a $30 deposit to secure your seat. And the remaining balance is due in the middle of July. You do have to have an enhanced license or passport to cross the border. Also, you have to have a clean record. So if they run your name and you can't cross, we're going to have to leave you there. If you're interested in that, you can send us an email at urbanenvironment313@gmail.com or look us up on Facebook.
Yes, yes. And I want to touch back on that Small Business Expo. This is our third one. We did one last year in Detroit, and we did one in Lansing. You guys want to definitely come out to that. If you are a small business owner, you have any type of brand, any type of product, you want to be a vendor at this. It's going to be a great event. We not only have going to have great vendors there, we're going to have three amazing speakers that are going to kind of help you in your trek to be a strong positive business. You see what's going on with the economy right now. So we're going to need you small business people to help bounce it back. And you know, it's funny we're talking about business because we got a great person in business with us tonight. We have the chairman. Well, he was the co-founder, but now he's the chairman of the Imagine Theater. Can you guys give it up for Mr. Paul Glantz? How you doing today, sir?
I'm terrific, Deshaun. Thank you for having me. Hi, Lakeisha.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for spending this time with us this evening.
I'm great. I'm really delighted to be with you. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Now, Paul, I want to let you know, don't judge me. We normally do a drink of the night when we're actually in the studio. So we're not in the studio today, so I had to do my drink of the night at home. So I made a martini, so don't judge me.
You didn't.
Damn, had I known this was cocktail hour, I would have made one.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So, Paul, first things first, how are you hanging, dealing with everything that's going on right now, man? You keeping yourself busy?
Oh, you know, I'm really busy. You would think that I'd have nothing to do, but, you know, we're doing a lot of work with our banks these days. The banks have been very gracious toward us and relieving us of our near-term obligations. We're doing a lot of talking to our landlords who, you know, to be candid with you, landlords are not quite as gracious as our bankers have been. And so even on top of that, though, we're having some fun because, you know, there's a theory that says in business that you should be bold when others are fearful. And we're actually looking to buy some parts of one of our bankrupt competitors' businesses. And you know, the timing for that business to declare bankruptcy was just absolutely horrendous. They declared just before the pandemic broke. But it might represent an opportunity for us to grow our business.
Are you allowed to say not necessarily maybe the company, but where are one of your locations you guys are looking to expand to? Because correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's an Imagine in Detroit.
No, but, you know, we could talk about that. I think I finally found a location for it. And okay. You know, it's been a long time coming because, you know, we've been promising that we're going to build one in Detroit. Mm-hmm. But finding the right spot, and when I say the right spot, I mean a well-traveled retail location, something that's got visibility, good parking, all those kind of things. It's really critical. And so, believe it or not, while there's a lot of land in the city of Detroit, there's not a lot of land that meets that criteria. But I think we finally found a spot, and I'm not at liberty to share with you tonight where it's at exactly. But I am optimistic that we can get that project kickstarted before the end of this year.
Awesome.
We'd like to hear that.
Now, my competitors' theaters are in sort of an overlapping region. They have theaters in Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, and Missouri. The nearest ones are in Ann Arbor and Oxford, Michigan, which is in northern Oakland County. And we don't know if we can necessarily pull it off, but we think that it represents a great opportunity for us to grow our brand and to serve more Imagine guests.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you touched on that because one of our great listeners and followers, Erica Thetford, submitted a question and she wanted to ask, were you guys planning to expand outside of Michigan as well?
Well, today we have two theaters outside of Michigan. We have one in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Wow. And we have one in Frankfort, Illinois, which is a far southwest suburb of Chicago. And so, yeah, we're kind of there right now. At least we put our toes in the water in our neighboring states. But yeah, we're happy to expand both, you know, in this region in particular.
Now, you've been doing this for how long? How long have you been in the industry?
Well, let's put it this way: I had black hair back then. You know, the first theater goes back to 1989.
Wow, okay.
And I had a partner at the time, and he and I bought a one-screen movie theater out in Clarkston. Okay. And we bought it with $50,000 we borrowed on our credit cards, and $75,000 we borrowed from the bank. Okay. And it was because we didn't have any money. And, you know, if you don't have money and you need it, and you don't want to rob a bank, you got to find it somewhere, right?
Right.
And so we bought it really right. We bought it at a good price, and it was able to pay for itself over time. And what was interesting is that we actually became what I call students of commerce, students of the industry. We went to industry conventions. We learned everything we could learn about the business. And so then we got into it in a more meaningful fashion in the mid-90s. In fact, we opened our first new build theater up in Birch Run, Michigan on May 23, 1997. So that's really the current incarnation of Imagine. But again, our roots go back to 1989, probably before you guys were born, right?
Not me.
Yes, that was.
I knew you left young.
Now, right. How does Imagine always stay ahead of the curve? I mean, there's been so many theaters. Some have did amazing, as you stated before. Some have filed bankruptcy and not made it. How do you guys stay ahead of the curve with so many different new things? Did you catch that?
Well, my internet connection checked out just about halfway through.
Okay.
But I heard part of it. You said we're amazing, and I'm delighted to think you know, absolutely, that's the way you feel about Imagine.
And I was saying, how do you guys stay ahead of the curve when so many other movie theaters didn't make it over the years?
You know, I think it's really just about what I call being empathetic to our guest needs. What I mean by that is I try to put myself in your shoes or in Lakeisha's shoes and say, what would I like if I were going to the movies tonight? And so it's evolved a lot over time. I mean, you know, if you go back to our original theater, there was no computer to be found. I mean, there were regular, you know, cheap seats. You know, it was not luxurious. It was mostly popcorn and soda. But we've evolved it over time with the idea of trying to enhance the quality of the movie-going experience. And the reality is this. Had we not evolved the evolved our business and improved the quality of it, you'd probably just stay home and do streaming because, you know, it'd be so-so, right? So I think that, you know, business gets more competitive every single day. And we just have to continue to raise the bar on ourselves or else we're going to get head over the head with that bar. So part of it is motivated by fear that we'll fall behind. Part of it's based on the fact that at times people think I've been a visionary. You know, we were the first in the world to do all digital projection. But as a very practical matter, it's always been about how do we serve our guests? Because at the end, because ultimately, success in business is rooted in serving your customer. It's treating your guests well. And so I always try to think about how would our guests want to be treated? And if I treat my guests well, then I think they'll reward us with their patronage.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I'm glad you touched on that. You were talking about, well, we were talking about staying ahead of the curve. How did you guys handle, probably about, 5 or 10 years ago, the influx of piracy? Like, how did you guys maneuver through that and still stay ahead? You know what I mean? Because, you know, it was a big thing for a good while.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure it's entirely gone away. And it actually becomes an issue in my book with respect to the reopening of movie theaters. Because before Hollywood's going to release a lot of films again, they're going to want to know that most of the theaters around the world are open and available to show those films, because you release a film in Russia or China, you know, it's out on the black market before it's even in theaters sometimes. Wow. And so I'm not sure that piracy has really been addressed, but I'll tell you what's fascinating. There's a, they're doing a lot of surveys these days about what do you think you're going to do once you can get out of house arrest and so forth. And I was really encouraged by a study I saw yesterday that said 84% of people who like to go to the movies are going to come back right away because they're tired of this at-home stuff. So, I think it goes back to make it a favorable experience. Give your guests a reason to leave their home to be entertained, even if you could, you know, get it off of some kind of torrent service. You know, you'll have problems with the quality of the visual, the audio, and so forth. Again, you know, what we've done is we've tried to create a really magnificent viewing experience to go along with great concessions. So I don't know if you know this, but in the last 3 years, we've added 2 enormous screens, one in our theater in Canton Township and one in Novi. And these are among the largest screens in the country. And my theory is we got to do something for you that you can't do at home. And so when I put up a 92-foot screen or a 94-foot screen, it's because I'm trying to make it special.
And I got to tell you, I've always personally been a fan of Imagine. I'm going to tell you a funny story. I used to live in Westland, and there was a movie called NWA with Ice Cube and all those guys. Remember that? A couple years ago, and they did an 11 o'clock showing. I would have never imagined that many people would have sold out a movie at 11 o'clock, and it was at the Imagine in Novi. I don't think it would have happened at any other theater. It was something about you guys that just, like you said, draws people to the Imagine, man.
Well, I don't mind telling you, I have generally a great affinity for our guests. I mean, I love you guys. I genuinely think that, you know, you're the underpinning of our business. Without our guests, well, I got nothing. You know, and that's why it's, you know, it's a little sad right now because I don't have any guests to embrace and to thank for all their gracious patronage. But it's incumbent upon me to continue to make it a really great experience. And so kind of off the record, one of the things we're doing during this quiet period is we're replacing almost all the seats in our Rochester Hills Theater. And we're doing.
I think his service went. Let me see if it comes back in.
Hold on. Buy another $500 million worth of seats because I can't have, you know, guests sitting in gnarly seats.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
Absolutely. So now I have a question. So for your loyalty members, are there some, you know, in this downtime, are you guys thinking of ways or other promotions to engage your loyalty members more, or is there anything you're offering?
You know, we were offering some big bags of popcorn with the purchase of gift cards. We've also gone into a program with some limited release companies that are doing these art type films, and we're showing some virtual cinema. We've also, in deference to our guests, you know, these points are only good for so long. We put a stop on that, so your points will be extended, of course. And, you know, the question is, really, what are we going to do when our guests come back? And it's almost like I want to be at every theater so I can hug people, you know? That's what I really want to do. Thank you so much for coming back. You
know? Right. And so with everything that's going on, was there any movie that was coming out that you were kind of sad that this happened that you can't release? Or is there a movie release you was looking forward to personally to come out before all this happened?
You know, the James Bond picture was supposed to come out in April, and that was the first one to get moved to Thanksgiving. And I think that picture will be very successful. I think they did they made the right call basically to move it, because I don't know if you saw this animated film called Onward, but it's a really lovely story. And the folks at Pixar literally spent 6 years producing this film. And sadly, just as the film was released, people became concerned about being in large groups. And so it had kind of a lousy opening weekend, but it was not rooted in the film itself. The film itself was magnificent. It was just rooted in the fact that people were a little anxious about going out to the movies. So that picture went almost immediately to Disney Plus. And while as a theater owner, I wouldn't be thrilled with the idea that we're going to just push films right from the theaters into streaming, in this case, I really don't blame Disney, because they didn't get a full opportunity to showcase their film.
Just a little bit. Give him a second to pop back in, y'all. And if you're not listening, if you can't know right now, we're here with Mr. Paul Glantz, chairman of the Imagine Theaters. They already said it. Y'all can come back. As soon as this is over with, they'll be right back in here with us, y'all.
Please come back. I can't wait to have you come on back. I'm going to hug you.
Is there a tentative reopen date right now?
You know, I'm due to be on a conference call with our trade association on Thursday, and I'm hoping to get some more clarity then. We're thinking that, you know, our business is probably going to be among the last to be reopened or allowed to open again. So realistically, we're thinking it's probably June, July, somewhere in there, which is really sad for me. But you know what? We got to play the hand we're dealt, right?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, one thing, Paul, I got to tell you, like you said about you want to hug everybody. You've always been deeply rooted in the community, man. Like, I don't even know if you know this, but one of our very first events, we did a charity date auction, and we reached out to the Imagine, and they gave us free passes as part of the gifts to give away to the daters that won, and you know, won the bid on the date auction. You guys have always did things like that. So have you always liked to work with small businesses and help different fundraisers and things?
Hey, I'll tell you what, Deshaun, we're still a small business by a lot of standards today ourselves. I've got great affinity for small business because, look, I told you my roots. I came from nothing, right? And
you have a second pop back in, y'all.
The way I can. I want to help the small business people any way I can. And so I think it's an important value system too. And here's what I believe. I believe when you give without any preconceived notion of getting something back in return, that inevitably good things happen to you. It's almost like a positive karma thing. And so, yeah, I want to support small business people. I want to support the community everywhere possible. I also think it's good business. And here's what I would tell you. I think that our philanthropy, the kind of, you know, goodwill that we've created in the community is good for us too, because when people know you're not just taking from society, you're giving back as well, I think they feel better about doing business with you.
Absolutely. 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 Because not only did you do that, I'm also a local actor, and I know a lot of the independent films have been ran there as well. So that's another big thing that you guys do, helping out people that just put their $5,000, $10,000 budget together to make a local film and being able to run it on a big screen at the Imagine. That's really awesome, man.
Hey, I'll tell you what. There's another budding Steven Spielberg or a terrific actor out there somewhere. And what I'm trying to do is make friends with them before they become big time. And I'm thinking maybe they'll remember me at some point when they're rich and famous, you know?
A question for you here. Big Sean, Detroit rapper. There was a talk before about you guys partnering. Is that still on the table or is that no longer?
No. In fact, you know, the Detroit Theater is designed to be a joint venture with Sean.
Oh, it is? Oh, that, okay.
It is. And it's been up to us to find the location. We've struggled to find the location, but I do believe that we've got the right one now.
So now, is this location, is it on, you know, the outskirts of Detroit, or is it actually in Detroit?
I would call it Midtown.
Huh?
It's in Midtown.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you this, Paul. If we even take Imagine out the equation, like we said, we got a small business coming up, a small business expo. And by the way, I will be asking you to speak at it. I'm telling you on camera now, I'll be asking you to speak at it. But what would you tell a young guy, 17, 18, 19, a young man, a young woman that has a dream to do something big, but, you know, they're scared, they're nervous, they don't have enough push? What would you say to them?
You know, I think you have to be, I don't know if it's a fine line between foolish or incredibly brave to be an entrepreneur. And here's why, because, you know, most people crave the thought of a regular paycheck and so forth. And it's really hard to be able to cast it all aside and say, I'm going to go for it and I'm going to get there. And you know, so you've got to believe in yourself. You've got to differentiate yourself in the marketplace. You have to have a value proposition. And I think that, you know, I think entrepreneurship is not for everyone. But for those who are willing to take risks in life, the rewards are awesome.
Good. That's a good answer. And I'm actually glad you touched it. You said that. That's a really good answer.
Yeah. And by the way, I would be delighted to speak at your conference. I would be deeply honored.
Y'all heard that here. You heard it live. He said it. You can't get away now. He said it. It's locked in. We'll talk.
We'll talk.
But now, Paul, I want to ask you this. You've been in the movie industry for years. Have you ever wanted to be on the other side? Did you want to be, you know what I mean? Did you want to be an actor? Tell the truth, man.
Well, you know, I get my acting fix when I do my policy trailers, right?
Yeah, you're right.
And so I get in front of the camera occasionally, you know, before the film starts. And so that's probably about all I can do. You know, I'm not good with memorizing my lines. So I'd have a real problem in that regard.
Okay.
And then I have a question. What is something that you want to say to all of your employees now who may not be working at this time?
I'm sorry, I got cut off by my internet connection, but I was saying, when I said to Sam recently, our videographer, I said, do you have a teleprompter? That's how bad I am with remembering my lines, guys. Wow. So I don't think I'm cut out for it, Deshaun.
Okay. Yeah, Lakeisha had a question for you, Lakeisha.
Yeah, so what is a message or something that you would say to your employees who may be listening or may play this back later, who may be at home working and waiting to come back?
Well, I'm sad that we've not been able to keep them all on the payroll since we've had no business whatsoever. But I would tell them that we adore them, and they really represent the underpinning of our business. So I was telling our leadership team and our teammates recently, you know, to build a beautiful environment and to provide great seating and wonderful concessions is what I call the price of admission. That's just a starting point. At the end of the day, what I think will differentiate Imagine going forward, and hopefully has up until now, is the empathy of our teammates toward our guests. Again, our teammates have to genuinely care about our guests' experience. If they don't, then that just puts us on a par with mediocre or average. And so I have a theory that says we have to treat our teammates well, because I can't expect our teammates to treat our guests well if they're miserable working for us. And so I think there's a lot of responsibility that comes along with leadership. And I hope I'm fulfilling my responsibility by sharing my value system with them and telling them how much I value their contributions to our success.
That's great, because like you said, I've known a few people that said they met you, they worked with you, and everybody says you're a great person. So you've always been right there in the mix, right? You've always shaking hands, saying hello to them. You're not like in an office 500 miles away and they can't ever get a hold of you, right?
No, more people have my cell phone number than you would believe. And it's okay. You know, I'm a transparent guy. I'm an approachable guy. I mean, you know, look, I pull my pants on the same way everybody else does. So, you know, I don't hold myself at any higher standard. You know, the other thing I would tell you is there's no job that I would ever ask my teammates to do that I'm not prepared to do myself. And so, you know, there have been times I've cleaned vomit off the floor in restrooms and mopped and cleaned and popped popcorn and so forth. All of that is good work. And so, again, I don't think there's any work that's below me or that I would ask our teammates to do that I'm not prepared to do myself.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. So
I have a question. So with other with other movie companies, are you, I would say, friends with their CEOs? And do you guys ever have like friendly competitions? Like, you know, this night we're going to get more sales than you and things of that nature. Do you guys have friendly competitions if you fraternize with any of them?
It's pretty much ongoing. And here's why. In our business, we have to report our box office receipts to the studios every night. That's how on Sunday night, you know, you hear about what was the top performing film and so forth. And so almost in real time, we have access to see how much business our competitors are doing versus how much business we're doing. And so I don't know that the competitive landscape's that friendly. It's a real rivalry. And my chief rival recently sold his business and retired. So I guess we've buried the hatchet to some extent. So now it's me and in the international chains, you know, it's for the most part. But yes, I'd say it's very competitive, because look, we can all see what everybody else's business is that day. And so, yeah, we want to be number one for sure.
And do you see Imagine becoming an international name as far as movie theaters and things like that? Or are you kind of just trying to stay within the Mid East region?
I think we're going to remain a domestic U.S. Business. I don't see us necessarily conquering the world. And here's why. You know, there are cultural differences in different countries compared to the U.S. and so forth. And I'm not one that believes that I have a lock on all knowledge in the universe. You know, a lot of my success, if not all of it, has been born out of being surrounded by people who are way smarter than me. And so it's not to say I couldn't find people in other countries that could, you know, teach us the culture and show us exactly how to succeed in business in their country. But I think that given my age, given my sort of expertise and so forth, I think sort of sticking to our knittens and staying close to home is probably a good idea for us.
Now, you said your age. You look like you're about 34, so don't even say age. But I know you said you've been in this industry, this game, for a while. How many years does my boy Paul have left? Can I get 20 more years out of you here, man?
Hey, I'm telling you, I feel good. And you know, the new 63 is 53, right?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think I, you know, to be honest with you, I would be bored stiff if I was retired. I don't know what I would do. I mean, one of the joys I take away from business is sort of the daily intellectual challenge. And so I really don't see a circumstance where I would be fully retired at any point in my life.
Okay. Now, I know this business, you have to do a lot. It takes a lot of your time. But what do you like to do for your fun? You know, first of all, Paul, are you married? What do you do? Do you and your wife do something? Or are you single? You know, what do you do, man?
Yeah, I've got a lovely wife. We've been married for 35 years. We like to travel. We got back from Cayman Islands in the middle of February. We got to go did a little snow skiing in March, and we like to boat. We've got a boat, and we like to boat on our inland lake here. So it's a pretty good gig. I'm not going to tell you it isn't.
Now, besides us doing our podcast, we do events, like I said, the Small Business Expo. But we started doing speed dating events, meaning we had a lot of singles doing that type of thing. You just said you've been married for 34 years. Let's touch on that. What would you say the secret is to being married, especially somebody like you who works as hard as you do? What do you say the secret is to all our single people that want to be married is watching this?
I refuse to fight with my wife. Just flat out refuse.
Okay. Okay.
No fight. No fighting. Just, it's not productive. It doesn't end well.
Y'all heard it. You heard it here first. The man, 34 years, successful. He said he ain't fighting with his wife. Doesn't do anything.
No fighting with the wife.
That's the key, man. That's the key.
That's the key.
Well, Keish, do you have anything else for him? Because I don't want to keep him here all night because we do got to go ahead and do a couple more things. Keish, you got anything else for him right quick?
No, that's it. I just look forward to being able to go to the movies. I do have streaming services here, but it's not the same. I can't recline in a chair. I can't have my adult beverage. I can't have my blankie and just have the whole, you know, and my snacks and the whole movie experience. So I'm just patiently waiting for you guys to open back up. I got my loyalty card ready. I got my points. I got my points ready. So I do just look forward to being able to come back to Imagine when it does open.
Well, thank you, Lakeisha. I gotta tell you, we can't wait to welcome you back. We'll be there with open arms for you, okay?
Thank you.
You know what? You just made me think of something. I gotta ask this. Paul, I am 6'5", 290 pounds. But you guys got these big seats in the front row of one at the Royal Oak Theater. Where did y'all get those from? And how can I get one at my house, man?
You know, I might have one in storage for you.
Hey, don't say that, man. I'll come up there right now, put in the truck, man.
You know something? We invented we actually designed those chairs.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. And here's why. You probably realize this. I mean, some high school kids might say otherwise, but as a very practical matter, I could put the front row back 300 feet from the screen and still nobody would buy it because they'd say it's the front row. They want to sit in the front row. So my challenge was, for years, I could not sell the front row. And I was trying to think of how could we possibly find a way to take what I consider to be inherently unsaleable real estate and make it saleable. And so we came up with this idea of the cuddle chair. And I don't know if you know, but it has special pricing. You know, if you've got a family, mom and dad and a baby, or a couple of children can come and all sit in that one chair, you're paying for two. But if, let's say, the nighttime price is $10, and so you'd pay normally $20 for that seat for two at night. If the daytime price is $6, the two of you can sit, or four of you can sit in that chair for $12. So it's a really good buy. But also keep in mind, the reason we can have that ottoman there is because there's a lot of room in front of you. We're not impeding ingress and egress. So it was just an idea that came upon me. And we actually had those upholstered chairs manufactured by our seat vendor. And it took a couple renditions to get the back reclined just right, you know, sort of the angle change on it properly. So I think we got it right this time. But those are comfy, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Man, listen, I went to go see Lego Movie 2 with my godson.
Okay.
We're sitting there, we get the chairs. I have my drink, my adult beverage. Not him, because he's a child. But I have my adult beverage.
Thank you, Deshaun. Thank you.
I almost fell asleep, man. So I was like, no, it's too comfortable. It's too comfortable, man.
Yeah, I get it.
But like I said, I want to let this know, just like Lakeisha said, thank you for everything you're doing out there for the community, for us entertainment-wise. We really do love the Imagine. And as always, we'll keep sending our people to it. But before we let you go, is there anything, one last thing for the next 60 seconds you want to say to your viewers, your listeners, your fans, friends, family, anything? Go ahead and say it to them right now.
Well, I want to thank all of our guests for their past patronage, for their gracious willingness to continue to support our business. And I hope that we'll have the privilege of seeing them back real soon. And when we do, these places are going to be spotless. And we're going to try to give you the best experience you've ever had in your life.
All right. All right. Well, Paul, thank you very much for sitting in with us at UE Talk. Now, it's what is it, Tuesday night? I don't even know what day it is anymore. It's Tuesday night. Go hang out with your wife, man. Thanks.
All right. Sounds like a program, Deshaun.
Take care, man.
Thanks. So long, Lakeisha. Bye now.
Have a good night. Thanks. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye now.
Lakeisha.
Yes.
Man, he was so down to earth, man.
Yeah. And you know, it's hard to find people like that who's in the position that he's in to, you know, just to kick it with you know, other extraordinary people like
say
us.
Say what?
But I do want to say something real quick, if I can.
Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you to everyone who donated to our Supplies for Lives campaign. We didn't reach our goal. However, we did raise $630. So once again, thank you guys so much. I was able to order some of the supplies today. And when the funds deposit from another source, I'll be depleting the rest of the fundraising money to order more supplies, and we'll be able to deliver those next week. So once again, thanks everyone for your contribution, whether it's small or big. Thank you once again. So
I just want to let them know. Do you want to let them know where they're going?
Yeah. So we're going to donate half of them to a hospital. And the other half will be going to a nursing home. So whatever hospital we decide to choose or nursing home we decide to choose, though, that's where the supplies be going. So today I was able to order 200 surgical masks, and I was able to order 48 hospital gowns.
Y'all heard that. You heard that. Now, I don't know if you noticed something, by the way. You see what I got in the background?
Yeah, I'm looking at you. I'm like, you done set up your own little podcast. I'm just in the bed against a white wall.
Because you know what? I looked at it last time we was on here, and I'm like, you got a white wall. I ain't got nothing but a yellow wall. I got to do something else. I got to give them something. I got to give them something, man. So I said, they looking at me. They won't look at me. They look at us. They still see us there, you know. But Keith, he said we got a few more minutes, but I did want to, because like I said, we haven't done this in 2 weeks. We want to kind of kick with people, let people know also what we got going on. So, once again, let them know about the Small Business Expo. And Paul did say he'll speak at it. But let them know exactly, like, how it works. I know we said about being vendors.
Yeah, so at the Small Business Expo, if you haven't been, we usually have about 20 vendors. And they sell that, you know, set up their tables and have their stuff. And so it's open to the public. So the public comes in, kind of shop around or whatnot. And then our speakers are usually entrepreneurs themselves, and they have about 15, 20 minutes to give a spiel, maybe some tips or advice about, you know, entrepreneurship and different things you can do to grow your business or, you know, stabilize your business or whatever. So, and they usually stick around so you can ask questions afterwards or whatever. So we do have a really, really good time. And a lot of people come show up. Some people, you know, it's like a networking event pretty much. So you can come shop, you can come bring your business cards if you don't want to purchase a table and switch cards and everything. It's really like, it's kind of like a speed networking for entrepreneurs.
And we really do recommend coming out to it, whether you end up getting a table, whether you want to be a customer, or if you just want to learn about moving your business forward. You heard some of the things Paul said. You almost got to be crazy to go do this, but the reward is amazing if you work hard. So like you said, it's amazing. We recommend anybody coming out there, bring your business cards and start mixing mingling. One thing that we've definitely been proponents of all the time is networking. Right. We met some amazing people at the last one in Detroit. Let's Go Detroit. We had the Black Economic Exchange magazine came out and checked us out.
Right.
And we're going to make this one work. Yes, we had to change the date because of...
Hopefully. It's keeping our fingers and toes crossed. So hopefully we'll be able to have somewhat of a normal life by then. And I think that's right after Father's Day. That's right after Father's Day. So, yeah, I'm hoping and praying we'll have somewhat of at least half a normal life by that time. Hopefully we can at least have social gatherings by then.
And speaking of that, I do want to talk to the listeners directly. You know, we've touched base on this COVID thing a couple times on our show, and we try not to talk about it over and over because it's obvious. It's all over the social media, all over the news. But one thing I want to tell you guys out there, listen close. Stay strong. Don't give up. Don't go crazy reading all the stuff on social media and the news. Be informed, but stay strong. There's going to be another, sooner or later, there's going to be a time that we outside of these boxes again talking to each other, and we're going to be in the same area. So we're telling everybody to stay strong, have faith. It is what it is right now. But sooner or later, this thing going to be over with. And stay healthy, y'all. Stay healthy.
And fact check. Okay? Check the facts. I mean, people would post or share something and don't do the research. Like the governor said yesterday, there's this misconception of what we can and can't do. You guys, all the orders from the very first one down to the very last one is available online for you to view. So if you're confused on what you can and can't do during this time, read the order. It's there, michigan.gov/coronavirus. You can't miss it. You know, so just be informed. Check your news sources. Check where you're getting your articles from before you share them. You in this time, you just got to... You got to check the facts.
Even when everybody's talking about their stimulus money and all that stuff and unemployment and all that, get the real information. Don't just ask a bunch of people on social media, hey, what do you guys think? Get the information for yourself, guys. And if you need access to anything, any information that we can help you with, we'll give you the factual information. Trust us. We will help you out. You know. But like I said, what else we got coming up?
So August 1st.
If we good.
Right. Given that they open the tunnel and the bridge up. We still plan at this moment on going to Toronto for the Carvana. The Grand Parade was canceled. However, the events that they had planned for that weekend are still scheduled to happen. So seats for the bus is $80. It's $30 to secure a seat, and then the balance is due in mid-July. You do have to have an enhanced license or a passport to cross the border. You also, your record, you can't have nothing on your record that won't allow you to cross the border. Right. So if you get on our bus and you can't cross the border, we're not going to refund you. And you're just going to be assed out pretty much.
If they don't know, let them know exactly what Carabana is. Because I know we did Put in Bay one time, and people didn't know necessarily what it was. We had to explain it to them. We did. He said, no soup for you. They're through.
It's a Caribbean festival. So it typically is all month long. But however, given thing that's every you know, everything that's going on, they canceled the month long celebration and condensed it down to the weekend. The big thing is the grand parade. You know, people dress up, they have their feathers and, you know, and everything. And they just, you know, march, you know, down this long path or whatever. But that's not happening this year. So there's going to be some day parties. There's going to be some other parties. It's just people coming together to celebrate a culture and just to have a good time.
So you guys heard that. It only costs you $50. Well, what is the deposit? I'm sorry.
It's $80 for a seat. To save your seat, to claim a spot, is $30.
So you get a deposit, it's $30, guys. So trust me. Urban Embodiment, we ain't going nowhere. We still going to make it happen with all this stuff going on. And also, guys, just like we said earlier, we do still do our singles events. So stay up to date with our Find a Base speed dating, our parties, and everything like that. You can join our singles group, Singles Dating Detroit. Or if you're in Lansing, Singles Dating in Lansing. We do specific events for each one of those that are group exclusive. So if you're on Facebook, join those, guys. And if you want to be part of the mailing list, just give us an email, a shout out, urbanembodiment313@gmail.com. Rakeisha, we done had an amazing first season here with Podcast Detroit.
Yes, yes. Podcast Detroit has been so great for us. So I just want to say, you know, from us, thank you guys so much for being patient with us. Thank you guys for everything that you provided for us. Thank you for inviting us to your network. We've had a great run, but we ran out of reserves. So unfortunately,
in season two, this fall. We like a TV show, so we will see y'all this fall. But Podcast Detroit, thank you very much for everything. We had an amazing 3-month run here. And like I said, we will be back in the fall with more exclusive interviews. And guys, like I said, still make sure you check us out on our Facebook page, Urban Embodiment. Because from time to time, we're going to pop in with some exclusive stuff. So.
I miss the green and black walls.
That's what it is. We really want to come back. We want to get back in the studio. We're trying to do the show from our house.
I miss the liquor over there.
Yeah, right. We want to get back in the studio,
man. That
green and black background, man. Dave and everybody at the Podcast Detroit Studio that's always taking care of us. We love you guys. And like I said, we will definitely see you this fall, bringing back season two of UE Talk. So, well, I don't have any champagne to toast. That was my whole plan. If we was in the studio, I was going to toast champagne for the last episode. But what can we do? So, check us out. I am Deshaun Whip Dog Whipple, and
I am Lakeisha.
And thank you for rocking with us for season one of UE Talk. Keep up to date with us, and we will see you at season two. Take care, guys.
Stay home, stay safe. Good night.